Good morning. Oh, come on. Y'all could do better than that. Come on. Now let's do that for Jesus one time. Come on. Come on. Woo! Yeah. It's fun to be at church. I love coming to church. I love being the church. And I'm glad that you're here today. So I want to just talk just for a minute about family camp. It's going to be amazing this week. And I know you guys are going to show up at the last minute. And you didn't sign up because that's what we do in America. But we won't have enough chicken nuggets for you. And if your name's on the list, we're just going to say, man, I'm sorry you're hungry. We're really not going to do that. We're going to have enough chicken nuggets. But it just makes it a lot easier if you show up, if you sign up. So try to do that for us. We're not trying to pigeonhole you in anything. We just want to bless you. So if you'll let us know that, we can do that. And for the first time this year at family camp in the afternoon, I'm going to be teaching a class on parenting. So all you parents, young mothers and dads and old mothers and dads, come on out. And it's going to be fun. And I'm going to tell you everything not to do because I really don't know what to do, but it's going to be fun. And so y'all come on out to that. It's going to be a good time, and we're excited about that. So it's for everybody. And then on the 14th, and everybody chuckles when we say we're giving away gourmet hot dogs, but we really are. We're doing some really good Nathan hot dogs, you know. They're all beef, and we're going to chop up a bunch of onions, and well, we're not, but somebody is. And we're going to chop up a bunch of onions, and we're going to have a bunch of stuff to put on it, and it's going to be a blast. Now, our serve day is going to really be a party. So when you think serve day, don't think about coming to work all day, because you're really just going to go out and mingle at the park and hang out with people and have a good time. And so we want you to come, and it's at 10:15. We'd like for you to gather, so by 10:30 we can kind of give everybody a place they need to go hang out, and then we can have prayer together, and then we can be ready to go. Now, I know, I'll get about 10 texts this week that it's supposed to be raining on Saturday. I've already looked at that. But, you know, it's a 50% chance. So it's a 50% chance it won't rain. And in South Louisiana, it could be 80%, 100% rain, or it could be zero by then. I need to do some work around my house this week, and I put it off because it's going to rain, and it rained just a few drops. I could have got all the work done. So we don't ever know. So we're going to plan big. We're going to have a great time. We're going to serve our community. We're going to invite all the police and firemen out. And the park was full of people yesterday. It looked like a great opportunity to go serve and love on people. And so it's going to be a fun time. Matthew and Allison, come on up here. All the way from Redding, California. Glad y'all are home. Thank you. They came the first of the year and visited with us and prayed into it and feel like this is God's purpose for their life for the season. And they're going to come and help us. And we're so excited about that. And they're going to be leading up a lot of different things. But one of the main things they're going to be doing is evangelism and outreach and serve teams. And so we're excited about them being on board with us. And they're already hard at work. They were out yesterday. Not at work. It's not even work. They were hard at playing and ministry and fun. They were out yesterday doing their thing, but Thursday at 6 o'clock you can meet them at the park. Go hand out some flyers for the Saturday event, and then Saturday morning at 9:45, and they're going to be doing that. So we'll be praying and going praying over the people and just touching lives. Hey, you know, we're going to be giving out hot dogs and popsicles, so there'll be a lot of people out there that just you'll have a chance to communicate with and get to know. It's going to be a fun time. So we're glad they're here. Why don't we welcome them to the harbor? Come on. Love them. This guy right here is a trip, too. He's helping me at my house. And I said, we got 30 more minutes. Let's see if we can get some more of the loads of sand. He's like, okay, let's see how many I can get. You know, not let's just go get a few. Let's see how many we can do in 30 minutes. I love his zeal. I'm not that young, but I love his zeal. So, all right, I'm going to talk to y'all today about worship. It's my favorite subject. I love preaching about worship. I think worship is just, it's what we were created to do, right? And I just love preaching on worship. And so we're going to go to the scripture in Psalm 100. and Psalms or Psalm 100 or however that is. I figure if Carter could preach from Psalms last week, I should preach from Psalms this week. Psalms. Anyway. So we're going to Psalm 100 lift. We're going to be this whole entire chapter. Lift up the great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead and do it, everyone, everywhere. I just love that. Just do it. Go ahead and do it. Why don't we do that right now? Why don't we just like, let's do about 30 seconds of just giving God our best right now. Come on, lift up a shout of praise to God. Yeah, come on. Yes. Come on, he's good. Yes, indeed. I was watching a bunch of guys the other day. I was at a restaurant somewhere, and they were doing the selecting of the new, you know, teams or whatever, football, whatever it is. And they were all getting excited about it, you know, and cheering for their team, getting the right pick or whatever. And, you know, I might even watch a little football this year since they got saved, and they're going to make them stand for the American flag, bless God. And so they were all excited and pumped up about it, and I was watching how excited they got about football. And I enjoy watching the football game myself, and there's other things that I enjoy. I love hunting and fishing, and we get excited about all these things. But I was thinking, man, how we get so excited about our color, our football, our team. You know, we used to have this guy that played drum for us. I love this guy. But on Sunday morning, I didn't have to watch the LSU game, because on Sunday morning, if he came in all depressed, I knew LSU lost. He couldn't even play the drums. It was, oh, God, LSU lost yesterday. He'd play the drums and go sit in my office. I'm like, really, dude? Seriously? I mean, you love it that much? That it just, I don't get that. But anyway, but, you know, we get so excited about all of these things in life, but the most incredible thing in our life is God. Amen. The reason you're here this morning is because God woke you up this morning. The car you drove, it's because God blessed you. The house you live in, because God blessed you. The clothes you wear, it's because God blessed you. You say, no, it's all because of my hard work. Well, God gave you the job. Everything in life God has blessed us with. And yet, even for those who don't even believe, he still leaves provision for them, because he's God. Amen. And he loves everybody. And then in the midst of all of this, we just don't recognize or realize how great God is in our life. And so we get more excited sometimes about things of this world than we do about just our Lord and Savior. And I wonder oftentimes how exciting it would be to just see people get so pumped up about Jesus and about the kingdom of God, and just wear their colors strong. Wear it everywhere they go, and just be worshipers, because that's really what we were created to do. We was created to worship the Lord. He says, as you serve him, be glad and worship him. As you serve the Lord, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy, and realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. I want you to say that. For he is our creator and we belong to him. That's powerful. That's more powerful than just words. He is our creator and we belong to him. We're of the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gate with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Bring your thank offering to him. Affectionately bless his beautiful name. For the Lord always is good and ready to receive you. For the Lord is always good. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you. So kind, it will astound you. He is so famous for his faithfulness toward all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promise to every generation. For he keeps his promise to every generation. That is so good. God is so good. This psalm is a song of prophecy for a time when everyone would come together and they would know that the Lord is God. And I believe today when we speak these words, we prophesy over the nations that everyone would come to know the goodness of God, that would know the love of God. I believe our worship exemplifies the goodness of God, our life of worship. And we let the world know who we love and who loves us by our lifestyle of worship. It is a word that challenges us to come into his presence with great joy and with singing. He said, sing your way into his presence. I know this is a little silly, but this morning early I was sitting in my office and through my blinds, I can't really see people's faces, but I can see them walking in. And I don't know why I saw this morning. It was kind of funny. But I saw somebody walk by, and I thought, man, it took them a long time to walk from that window to that window. I was just watching, and it's like, oh, we're glad when we came into the Lord, you know. I don't know who it was. I couldn't see their faces, but I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. How many times do we get up, and not just talking about coming to church, but we get up in our life, and we should be excited about, hey, I was glad when I got to come to the presence of the Lord. It's like, well, it's Sunday. Well, it's worship time. Well, it's what, and we're not extremely excited about coming into his presence. There will certainly be something inside of us that's got this zeal and this excitement. And we're like, nah, I can't wait to get in the presence of God, whether it be in church or whether it be in your living room or where your prayer closet or wherever you're at or driving down the road. Just the enjoyment of being in God's presence ought to excite you. It ought to just turn you on. It ought to be like, whoa, I can't hardly wait to get in the presence of God. He said, sing your way into his presence. Look, there are times in our life, and I know in my life and in your life, there are times that the enemy would make us feel like we're not worthy to come into the house of the Lord and lift our hands and lift our voices and praise. I mean, the enemy puts so much condemnation and guilt on us. Maybe we didn't do something we should have done, or maybe we acted out in a way we shouldn't have acted out, or something happened during our day that we just kind of like, oh, and then we fall prey to that. You know, it's something that amazes me. In my years of pastoring, this is always amazes me. When people are going through hell, when they're going through the worst times in their life and difficult times, instead of getting in places where people gather to worship, they run away from the house of God. They run away from their small group. They want to run away from the Monday night prayer. You know, I'm thinking if you're sick and you're down and out and life is bad, man, you ought to be at prayer. You ought to come to the pool and get into the water. You know, there's a stirring in the water. But instead, the enemy puts his guilt on us, and he condemns us and shames us. Well, you've been bad. So, you know, you listen, the Lord doesn't look at us or base our relationship out of our performance. Thank God for that, huh? I mean, because sometimes I have a bad day, right? And sometimes we just go through life difficulties, but God is not basing our relationship with him on our performance. But what he is concerned about is our worship, because he created us to worship, and he wants us to be in his presence. And so the enemy puts all of this stuff on us, and we come in and we're just burdened down with the cares of life. That's why the scripture says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because we just take on all of the stuff, all this stuff. And it keeps us from being where we need to be in our praise and where we need to be in our worship. Because here, the enemy knows this. The moment we step into the presence of God, everything changes. Everything changes. You know, I know this is a little gross, but I've been so sick sometimes on Sunday morning. And I've been in my office, you know, puking my guts up. And walk out here to preach, because, you know, it's too late on Sunday morning to call somebody and say, can you preach for me? I'm, you know. Well, I did that one time. I was in the hospital, though. So, but normally it's just a little too late for that. But God always shows up. I've walked in here so sick I could barely hold my head up, and all of a sudden I got in the presence of God, and whew, it lifts off of me. And I've preached the word a couple services, and God just blessing. And then I go home and I'm sick again. Somebody said, "Did you get healed?" I said, "No, I got blessed." Because sometimes just getting in the presence of God, you get blessed. Because there's a blessing in his presence. There's strength in his presence. There's something that happens in the supernatural realm when we connect with God. And so when you're going through life, life happens. Situations happen. But that's when we ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We ought to sing our way into his presence. Amen. Come on, I'm going to sing my way. Well, you sing pretty bad. We heard you singing. Listen, you're not singing to nobody else but God. I'm going to sing my way into his presence. I'm going to dance my way into his presence. I'm going to shout my way into his presence. I'm going to praise my way into the presence of God. I'm going to push my way in. And most of the time, we're not really, it's not God keeping us out. It's our flesh holding us back. Really, we're praising through our flesh. We're praising through our situation we're in. And when we step into his presence, whew, the heavens open. And the glory of God is like a river flowing over us, and washing us and cleansing us and helping us. And the Lord just wants to take you up and hold you in his arm. He loves your worship. The scripture tells us he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits when two or three are gathered in my name. I'm going to be there. When we worship, God just comes in all of his glory. It's so powerful. So when there was this woman at the well, and she had this encounter with Jesus we find in John 4. And he was telling her, he said, I'm the gift that you've always longed for. I'm the gift that God sent you. I'm here with you. And she couldn't understand all of this that he was talking about. And he was saying, if you drink from this well, this water, you'll never thirst again, because it's going to bring you a kind of love that you've never experienced. And it's going to wash away your past and give you hope for your future. And she's trying to contemplate all of this stuff. And she couldn't quite understand it. And I love how God works. God always will reveal a little something in our life, because he's so crazy in love with us. He'll want us to know where we live. I know where you live. I got your address. And so Jesus says, well, where's your husband? She goes, I haven't got a husband. He goes, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're living with is not your husband. And at that moment, it didn't feel like condemnation. It felt like revelation. And she said, the woman said in John 4:19, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me this, why do our fathers worship God here in this nearby mountain, but your people teach that Jerusalem is the place where we must worship, which is right? And Jesus responded, believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you won't worship the Father on a mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart. For your people don't really know the one they worship. We Jews worship out of our experience, for this is from the Jews that salvation is made available. And from here on, worshiping Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. He said, starting right now in your life, your worship is not going to be about a place you go to. It's not about the right place, but it's about having a right heart. You see, here God is helping us this morning to understand that this is a heart thing. This is not a how thing. This is not the way you do it thing. It's a heart thing. And there's all kinds of ways to worship God, but there's one thing that's for sure, that your heart has to be engaged in your worship and your romance with God. For God is a spirit. He longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and adore him in the realm of the spirit and of truth. And that's what we were all created to do, was to worship. Everybody. And we all do worship different. You know, I've watched through the years, my wife, she and I worship completely different. You know, I like to get out and jump around and hoop and holler. And she's a quiet worshiper. Tears running down her face. Focused upon the Lord. I've watched others worship in this style or this way, or, you know, I don't even know why I'm going to say this, but I just feel like I need to say it this morning. Sometimes we have put worship in a category of a style of music. Listen, I don't like gospel. Not gospel, but I don't like Southern gospel. It's not my thing. But I promise you, if I'm in a place where they're singing Southern gospel, I'm still worshiping. Because I'm not worshiping the style. I'm worshiping the Father. Amen. My daddy used to always say, he said, I don't care if they sing Mary Had a Little Lamb, I'm going to worship God because I'm in love with Jesus. Right. Right? And so our worship is not a style. It's not the way we do it here, the way we do it there, but it's a heart issue. And so oftentimes we worship God with the external, but our heart is far from God. And God wants to bring our heart back into focus. Why are you, what's the deal with you? I want to bring your attention. I want you to fix your heart upon me. I want your eyes to be upon me. I want to bring you back into focus of the goodness of God in your life. And when we get our heart connected with God, we don't go to a place of worship. We become a place of worship. Listen, I'm a worshiper no matter where I'm at. And I want to worship God on the bad days. You know what? I'm going to tell you, when times are tough, that's when I want to press in the most and worship God. Because I know the only way I'm getting out of that place that I'm at is through worship. And so I press into that place of worship, and I fix my heart upon God, and I make the decision that God is good all the time, and he loves me with this amazing love, and therefore, no matter what my day looks like, he's still good. So we come to worship with an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. This is so important. When we have an attitude of gratitude, our heart worship changes. When we're thankful for what God has done in our life. Yesterday, we was up around the house, and I knew there was a little car show going on downtown. But I knew if I told the girls we were going to a car show, they would be so thrilled about that. So I said, hey, let's go to the farmer's market. And we did go to the farmer's market. I did not lie. We went to the farmer's market. And then we walked around and looked at the cars. Well, my 10-year-old was... We went to eat. She was pouting. I said, what's wrong with you?
I'm hot. You didn't tell her she's bringing us to a car show. You wanted to go to the market.
Now, listen, let me tell you something. I hate whining. Like, that's my number one thing. I don't like whining. I don't like it from children, and I like it less from adults. You want some cheese to go with that wine? I don't care for whining. Because here's the deal. Because when we're whining, we're being distracted from the goodness of God. Let me tell you something. When you're whining and you're complaining and you're saying all those things, you're still worshiping. But you're worshiping another God. And you open the door to all kinds of stuff when you start complaining about your life. When you start saying, oh, my life is bad, and everybody's against me, and woe is me. You throw this big old pity party, and the devil shows up, and he's got one of those little cone hats, and he's got a little whistle, and he's blowing it, and he's cheering you on. Come on. Nobody else is coming to that party, by the way. And while you're at that party, you're opening the doors to all kinds of activity for the enemy to put more things in your life and more deception in your life. Now, I'm not talking about fake it till you make it, pretend life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking around you and finding the things that God has done in your life and being thankful for those things. I'm talking about looking around and saying, look what the Lord has blessed me with today. Look what the Lord has done in my life. Look how good the Lord is. The Lord is good. And I'm so thankful for his goodness. I'm so thankful for his mercy. I'm so thankful for his kindness. Well, Pastor, how am I going to do that when my car has been in the shop for a week? Your car is not your salvation. How am I going to do that when I got a problem over here in my marriage or situation? Because your salvation is in the Lord. Your salvation's not in all of these things around you. And there's so many things to be thankful for. You know, my dad used to always say, he said, we look for things that are negative, like it's a rainbow and there's a pot of gold at the end. Instead of looking for the things that are positive and the things that are blessed and whatsoever is good, whatsoever is wholesome, think on these things. Get your mind off the negative stuff. Get your mind off, oh, woe is me. Lord, you've been good to me. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that could learn this lesson. That when I begin to look at the goodness of God, I lift myself up out of the pit where the enemy is trying to take me. Come on. And I start dancing on those things that were meant for destruction. I start praising on those problems, and all of a sudden, those problems go away. You say they actually go away? No, they don't go away, but God gives me answers, and God gives me hope, and God gives me peace, and God gives me joy because my eyes are fixed upon Him. It's so important that when we get up in the morning that we set our affections on the thing of the Lord. We set our affections on the goodness of God. We said, listen, I tell these people all the time, I'm a news watcher. I like to watch the news. I haven't watched much of it lately, but I like to watch the news. But there's some people that watch the news and they get depressed and down and out. Like if that bothers you, turn the news off. Right. If that person, well, I'm going to say something strong here. If that person that you're hanging out with is always, what was life in your ear? Get a new friend. Get a new friend. Get somebody that you can celebrate with. Find somebody. If you can't overtake them, don't be overtaken. Get someone that'll join with you and say, the Lord is good. His mercies are made new every day. I'm coming out of this place and that, and I'm believing God for the supernatural in my life. God is my healer. God is my way maker. You know, I wear glasses every day, but I believe God heals blind eyes. I don't let my circumstances dictate to me who the healer is and who the way maker is. I just say, God, you're good, and you're good all the time. And I trust and my hope is in you. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. So we bring an offering. We bring an offering to the Lord. We bring our offering of attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. Every day we bring an offering to the Lord. Are we going to bring that offering before the Lord with a spirit of thanksgiving? Let me tell you something. We bring our tithe and we bring our offering to the Lord. And you know, nowadays people will give you their money before they'll give you their time. But God wants to give us the first fruits of our life, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And when we bring those tithing and we bring those gifts before the Lord, you know what? So many times we've made that tithing and we made that offering about, oh, well, you know, got to pay them tithes, or are they going to call me out, or they're going to think bad about me, or, you know, the devil's going to show up on the doorstep, or whatever you think. And so we write that tithing check out, put it in the offering. Well, just keep your money, because it ain't an offering unto the Lord anymore. I mean, it's not joyful anymore. It's kind of like coming to church and this is the day, this is the day. I wish they'd hurry up. The roast is burning and I'm ready to go. You know. But when we come with a joyful heart, Lord, I'm going to give you. You know what our tithing and our offering is? You know what our time is that we give to God? You know what it is? It's saying, God, you're first in my life. There's no other gods in my life. I'm not doing it because I'm worried to death. I'm going to burn in hell. I'm not doing it. I'm worried to death because some destruction is going to come in my life. Although I believe there's principles there. I'm just saying I give because I am God, you're first. My worship is God, you're first. I get up in the morning. I sing because God, you're first. I love God because you're first. I give of myself, God, because you're first. I am becoming a living sacrifice. And when I become a living sacrifice, you know what has to happen? For something to be a sacrifice, it has to die. It has to die. And I have to die out to myself and put God on the throne and say, you're first in everything in my life. And that's how I become a living sacrifice. And my life becomes a life of worship, holy and acceptable unto God. This is my reasonable service. This is just the reasonable service. I give myself to the Lord. So worship is not something we do, but it's who you are. Worship team, you can come. When he becomes our prize, the love of our life, the only one, we will become, praise will become an everyday thing. We'll get up in the morning, we'll go to bed at night with our eyes and our heart fixed upon him. Every day. I woke up this morning about 5:30 and I was, I don't know, dreaming, whatever I was doing. It was just worship. It was beautiful. And I thought, this is the way I want to wake up every day. I want to wake up every day of my life with just a heart of worship. You see, through the night, I rest through the night with my heart fixed upon the Lord. I get up in the morning with my heart fixed upon the Lord. And when I do those things, I know I'm putting God first in my life. God, you're first. The scripture says, I'll have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God. I'll have no other gods before me. I'm putting you first in every part of my life. And worship always is that. You're the one I love. I love you more than anything else, God. I love you more than all this world. I love you more than every situation that I'm walking through. I love you, Lord, more than I love myself. You're first in my life, oh God. My heart, God, belongs to you. I worship you with my heart. I worship you with my mind. I allow my spirit, Lord, to be connected with your spirit. It's joined together, Lord Jesus. There's none like you. Lord, you're good when everything is bad. Lord, you're gracious. You're loving. You're kind. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're slow to anger. Lord, I'm so thankful that you don't judge me harshly, but you love me deeply. And that you woo me, Lord, to your side. You care about me. God, I'm so thankful that you gave your son to die on the cross so that I could have this life of freedom and hope and peace and joy. That I don't have to stand like they did in the Old Testament out on the outer courts, God, but I can come into the throne room of God. I don't have to stand, Lord, and just maybe hope to get a glimpse of the glory. But God, I could come into your presence. For in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Amen. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, I come into fellowship with you. I'm yours. You're mine. This is an incredible love affair, God. When I was growing up, we used to hear a lot of preaching about the bride of Christ. And look, I know I'm a child of God, but I'm also the bride of Christ. And guess what? I'll never forget the day that I was standing over here on this left side, and my heart was beating out of my chest. And that back door opened, and I saw my wife. She started coming down that aisle, and I knew I was supposed to stand there. You got to stand there to the right time. You got to wait for the moment. But I wanted to run down there and just get her. Just go ahead and kiss her right there. Because she looks so beautiful. Like, hurry up, preacher. Come on, say it fast. I want to get to that part. Kiss the bride. And I can see God standing. And he's standing in the same awe. He's like, ah, there's my bride. And there's coming a day that I'm going to kiss that bride. I'm waiting. I'm excited about it. Let me tell you something, though. If she'd have come walking in there, all with an attitude, had a pair of old torn up clothes on and a hat thrown on backwards, I might not have been so excited. But she had adorned herself. She had prepared that day. She had been in waiting that day. And she was ready. She was beautiful. And he said, you're my bride, but I want you to adorn yourself with praise. I want you to adorn yourself with worship. I want you to adorn yourself. Oh God, my heart is fixed upon you. You're my beloved. And I worship you. And I love you. Beneath here are some imperfections, but I love you. Beneath here are some broke places, but God, I worship you. And you make me complete. You make me whole, God.
I just love you, God. I adore you. I long to be in your presence. God, you're my everything. It's a love affair. And all of his goodness comes out of that love affair. All of it.